Praising God no matter what, praising him in the storm, so to speak, which we don't have going on right now. This was Thursday night when that storm came through here. But in all of that, this is Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And we are from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We've been in our 10th year here on the air with Tan Talk 1340, this radio station. We're in our 10th year. Very, very happy to be here with this gang, with Lola and Ed and the whole gang, and what a wonderful group of people they are. And it's a joy to be able to get on the air every Sunday afternoon for 2 hours and share the Word of God. On Thursday nights, we have a life coaching show. And this past Thursday night, we had to do a rerun for some of you that are faithful listeners to that show. It's called Go Yard with Dr. Angel Falzoni, and with me, my other name, Mama Mac. And it's all about learning to hit home runs in life. That's what Go Yard means. And instead of letting life get us down and really cause us to strike out multiple times, or our own disobedience, as we've been talking about in the first hour of this show, we learn how to live a better life. So catch us on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Network. Wednesday nights, Pastor Jim, you just talked a little bit about what you taught this past Wednesday night. You want to invite them?
Yes, please. We have our gathering on Wednesday nights. Informally starts at 6 with prayer. We take prayer requests. We pray for we pray for those. We also use the Prayers That Avail Much book, which are great prayers because it's straight out of the Word.
Amen.
I mean, there's prayers for every situation in there.
Right.
And we do a lot of praying out of that. We take prayer requests. We pray for those. About 6:30, we have praise and worship, and then we get into the Word, and it's very interactive. So bring your Bible, notebook, dinner, if you want.
Sure.
And your questions, your comments.
Right.
I mean, you know, everybody just kind of jumps in, and it's a really, really great time.
Right. Wow. So we invite you to join us Wednesday nights. We are meeting at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater at the Red Roof Inn, newly remodeled. Very nice. And so that's where we are Wednesday nights, 6:30. Get out around 8 o'clock. Everyone is welcome, and we'd love to see you. We are talking about a series entitled The Power of Praise. And we're going to see a real turnaround here in these events in Exodus 32. If you just joined us, you can catch the first hour later in the week on our podcast here on the Tan Talk Network. But we're in chapter 33 of Exodus, if you have your Bible. And we're the importance of just going ahead and doing what God has told Moses to do, and that is to meet with him. Don't you think, Pastor Jim, that's the key right here? Moses didn't stop meeting with him, you know?
Right, right. No. No, he didn't. He couldn't. I mean, it was his nature.
Yes.
You know, it was
yes.
Part of his... He had that desire.
Right.
To commune.
Right.
And I think...
He had that desire and that need. I mean, I do, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, if I go a day or so where I am just caught up in the work of the day and everything, and I haven't had time to really spend much time with God, I feel it. I know you feel the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And we see, even after the events of Exodus 32, we see Moses here in Exodus 33 really getting back to where he needs to be, and that is going regularly to meet with God. He doesn't let these events totally destroy him or stop him from
right.
the work that God
right.
gave him to do. And Pastor Jim, it's a human nature thing, I think, so often to get caught up in our problem, our discouragement, our defeat, whatever it might be, our disease, whatever it is, to the point that we do not see God in the midst of it, and we don't spend time with him. We don't take time to praise or worship, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that just gets easy to do. And I know if I don't set aside time in the mornings
right.
to do what I need to do.
Right.
You know, which is to get with God before I go
sure,
to work.
Sure, absolutely.
Then... Oddly enough, work just seems to go really Not horrible, but it's just like...
Just not as easy. Doesn't flow, easy. Don't you think?
Yes, it doesn't flow.
And I'll tell you, and I have lived this for years, the difference is when we spend time in the Word, when we spend time talking to God, when we spend time especially praising Him and thanking Him for His blessings, and that we are dependent upon Him for the very air we breathe, for our day, for our jobs, for our health, all of those things. When we are in that mindset, the day goes much better. It just does.
It does. Well, because you've given it over to the one who's in control. And
exactly.
It's much easier when we just let Him do it than when we try and snatch bits and pieces of it for ourselves.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons, not 10,000 reasons, but one of the reasons...
I wonder what song is coming up.
I wonder. Wow, I wonder. Okay, we're having trouble here. There we go. There it is.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song.
Worship Him.
You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy. Time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the
you, God. We praise You, God.
Yes, I will worship Your holy name.
Woo! to God. We worship you, mighty God.
Lord, I worship your holy name.
Amen. 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 I love that song. Love that song, Pastor Jim, and you know I do.
I know you
do. One of my favorites. All right, so we're going to Exodus 33. It's Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia here from Beacon of Hope Ministries on Living the Good Life. In chapter 33 of Exodus, we find that the people realize now, wow, things are bad. We have really messed up. We built that golden calf. We worshiped it. We got in big trouble with God and with Moses. We are in major trouble. And Moses has interceded for the people. And, you know, God is going to continue to hold down his promise, fulfill his promise. He's going to take them into the promised land. Just like he said, he says it in the beginning of Exodus 33. I'm going to take you there. But there's one little difference here. I'm not going to go with you in person because you're such a stubborn. This is verse 3 of Exodus 33. I love it, the Message Bible. You're such a stubborn, hard-headed people. And I'm afraid I just might destroy all of you on the way because of your stubbornness, your hard-headedness. And he said, I'll send an angel ahead of you, but I'm not going myself. And verse 4 fascinates me, Pastor Jim. When the people heard this harsh verdict, they were plunged into gloom and wore long faces. No one put on jewelry.
But it was the jewelry that was an issue.
Yes, it was. They got them into trouble.
Right.
But I like the fact that the people did not like it that God himself wasn't going with them.
Oh, absolutely. They
realize they're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah.
They're in quicksand here.
Yeah. The Amplified says, when the people heard this sad word,
right,
they mourned.
Right.
I mean, they went in mourning because, I mean, up to this point, remember, God had visibly been with them.
Right. With a pillar of cloud. Yes, right.
It's like, I don't think so. Not no more.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they
consequences for their actions.
Exactly. I'm sure they thought, we've really blown it. Because what chance do we stand now?
Right.
Even though, he said, I'm going to send my angel, my representative. And, which is good, and he'll go before you and help you defeat them. But I'm not going to go with you.
And it's very interesting here because if you go on in verse 5 of Exodus 33, God says to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're one hard-headed people. I couldn't stand being with you for even a moment. I'd destroy you. So take off all your jewelry till I figure out what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped themselves of their jewelry. Talk to me about all that.
Well, they left off in the Amplified says, now, therefore, penitently take off your ornaments may know what to do with you.
Okay.
So the Israelites left off all their ornaments in repentance.
In repentance. So it was an outward sign of an inward change, like baptism is, right?
Exactly. When sometimes, God asks us to give things up sometimes.
Sure, sure.
He asks us to change our ways.
Right.
And, praise God, we have a better covenant. We have the Holy Spirit, like you said earlier in the show, living, habitating
in us,
inside of us, who strengthens us then to make these changes. Because he changes us from the inside, under the new covenant. My laws will be written on their hearts.
Right.
And so he changes us from the inside. But, there's still some things God asks us in general and individually,
right,
to give up because they are things that he knows will hinder our relationship with him.
Right. And some of that is rebellion.
Oh, absolutely.
Doing our own thing, etc. And so that's what's happened here. But it's fascinating that people realized, whoa, wait a minute, God's serious here. This
is
serious.
We
have really blown it. And he doesn't even want to be around us. I find that interesting.
It is. It's very, I would be terrified if God said, okay, I'm sorry, that's one sin too many.
Yeah, I don't
want to. See you later.
See ya. Don't want to be around you.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what I'd do.
Have you ever had a friend or a child or somebody in your life who made you so mad that you just pulled away from them for a period of time? You know, a lot of people have had that. And it's just that, you know what? I don't even want to be around you right now. You just drive me crazy. And I don't want to hear it.
And sometimes it's almost for
self-preservation
for us, but also for their own preservation, because
that's what's happening here.
I mean, as humans, we get around somebody who pushes our buttons.
Yes.
And if we don't get away, you know, something's gonna burst.
Right.
We're gonna have, you know.
And don't they tell you in anger management, I haven't been through that, but I've talked to people who have anger management classes, said when you get that angry, you walk away from the situation.
Exactly.
And you regroup yourself and come back
that's
later.
What God was saying.
And that's really what God did here. Yeah. So it's really a biblical principle.
It is. I got to walk away from you for a while.
He has taken anger management classes here. Okay.
It's a good thing, or they would have all been wiped out.
But, you know, it also drove home a point to them. Look, you really do need me to go with you. You really don't want to do this by yourself with just an angel. Not that angels aren't really powerful, but God is all powerful and all knowing and all, you know, everything. And he's with you everywhere you go. So it was just so interesting to me here, Pastor Jim, that God really wanted to withdraw his presence for a while. Even though the most frequent promise in the Word of God, 365 times at least, says some Bible scholars, God has said, I am with you always.
Right.
Okay, that's the most frequent promise. And yet we see here God threatening, but he doesn't go through with it, does he?
No, and I think it's interesting.
In
the next verse here.
Verse 7.
He's outside the camp where he met with Moses.
Right.
Now, he's not going with him, but he's still meeting with Moses outside the camp. And yet, look what the people do. When God would come down to the tent of meeting where Moses met with him.
I love this.
The glory cloud would come down. God would descend in the cloud of glory. And the people would stand out there and watch this. And it says that... in verse 9, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand on the doorway of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Verse 10, when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tent door, all the people would rise and worship each at his own tent door.
See, that's what grabbed me yesterday when I was studying this, that really hit me, Pastor Jim, is that when we see God moving in our lives, our reaction should be one of worship.
Right.
It should be. When we see God moving, we should be thanking him, praising him, and letting that take us into a place of worship, because we know that in his presence is where we're going to find the joy we need. In his presence is where we're going to find the answers we need. In his presence is where we're going to be re-energized for the tasks ahead. In his presence. And the people realized this because they stood at attention, it says in the Message Bible, and watched and waited in reverence as God spoke to Moses at the tent door.
So they had had a change of heart.
They had. This shows a change of heart.
Right.
This does not show them off doing their own thing.
Right. And I love the next few verses, because it's when God was meeting with Moses in the tent.
Yes.
He couldn't help himself. He had to intercede some more.
He interceded more.
And these are some of my favorite verses.
Go ahead.
Oh, I love these. Okay, so starting then with verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." Well, that's pretty interesting right there. God told Moses, I know you by name.
Sure.
I know all about you.
Exactly.
And you found grace anyway. That's what that word favor means. In Hebrew, it's grace.
He knows us regardless of our shortcomings, regardless of our failures. He knows us by name. He does. And Moses reminds God, wait a minute. You told me. You know me. You know me. You know?
In verse 13, I love this verse. Have it underlined. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, please let me know your ways so that I may know you, and this is amplified again, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, recognizing and understanding your ways more clearly, and that I may find grace and favor in your sight. And consider also that this nation is your people. You know, some translations say, you know, let me know you so that I may continue to find grace.
Absolutely.
You know, Moses knew God and he said, I want to know more. I want to get more intimate with you. I want to know more about you so that I can continue to find grace, so that I can continue to walk with you.
Exactly.
That's the hunger that all of us need, is to, like, so we can become, as it says here, more deeply and intimately acquainted with you.
Right, exactly.
Recognizing and understanding you.
Yes.
Your ways.
Yes.
That's what Moses was crying out for himself. And he says, and remember, these are your people.
These are your people.
These are your people.
I'm reminding you. Woo, let's go to this song, My Tribute. Who does this song?
Andre Crouch.
I know. And we're going to get back and talk about this more with Pastor Jim in just a moment.
How can I say thanks?
Amen.
For the things you've done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee.
Let's just thank him right now for all those blessings that each of us have in our lives. God, you get the glory and the praise, mighty God. You are our mighty God. Praise God. Love that old song. Woo! love that old song. Just had to throw that in today, Pastor Jim.
I love that song, too.
That's an old one from our days back in college.
Yes, it is. Oh, what a wonderful song, though.
But it is. To God be the glory. And even for all the situation that happened here with Moses, to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. And Moses is such an example, you know, for us, too, because... You know, he intercedes, and in the next verse, God says, okay, my presence.
Tell us what verse you're in.
I'm in verse, got to put on my glasses.
14, I think.
Verse 14.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you.
Amen.
And I will give you rest by bringing you and the people to the promised land.
Amen.
And Moses, even then, he still says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here.
Wow.
You know, God said, all right, I'm going to go, you know, and praise God that he responds to intercession.
He does.
Says, I'm going to go. And Moses is just saying, look, if you don't, we're not going. We'll just sit here at Mount Sinai now for eternity, because if you don't lead us,
we can't
you don't
do
go
anything.
With us, we're not going anywhere.
And don't you see, and I think this story really reflects this, because of the communion of God with Moses, and that Moses knew God and had interceded, he knew God's nature, and God showed him his goodness, he showed him his nature through all this, he showed him his nature of forgiveness, mercy, grace, he showed himself to Moses. Moses, because of time spent with God in the tent meeting door, on the mountain, every place that God had spent time with Moses, he knew that he had to have God. He knew. And this is the sign. I just read this. I'm going to read this. I wrote this in my Bible years ago, and it's in the front, and I read it this morning. True success in ministry comes only through total and complete dependence on the Lord. And I wrote that many years ago. People can learn qualifications, but not faithfulness. They must choose faithfulness for themselves. They must choose to be faithful to their God. They must choose to totally depend on God if they're going to be successful in ministry. And I just read that. I saw it in the front of my Bible again. It's been there for years. So true here. And it applies to Moses right here. The total dependence on God, Pastor Jim. If God didn't go with him, he wasn't going.
Right. He says, if you don't go with me, don't lead us from here.
Yeah. Just don't bother. Because I know I have to have you.
Right. Because you can have qualifications.
Yes, you can.
Which Moses said he didn't have in the first place.
Right.
Don't choose me, God.
Yeah, don't choose me. I stammer.
Yeah. Don't choose me.
Right.
And yet, not be anointed.
Right.
You can have...
There's a lot of leaders, don't you think, around the world that are in the ministry that don't have the presence of God, the anointing on their word. They preach a good sermon or whatever, but you can tell the presence, the anointing is just not vibrant in their lives.
Right, right. And I just heard this morning, as I always do on Sunday morning, I take our dog for a ride.
Right.
So I was listening to the Joy FM, and it's Michelle Talone on their warm-up for worship.
Right.
And she just got back from, and it's so interesting the way she put it, a mission trip to the Northeast.
Wow.
Because, and it was really kind of sad, speaking of well-done sermons.
Right.
All those Ivy League colleges, like Harvard, Yale.
Right.
All of them originally were church schools.
They were church schools, yes.
And even the plaque for Harvard that's dedicated to the glory of God for raising up pastors, it's like hidden behind a little bush now, she said.
Wow.
But that rings so true because you can go and get all the head knowledge.
You can.
All the, as Jed Clampett would say, the book learning
that you want.
And you may be able to put together a very well put together 3 points, beginning, middle, conclusion sort of sermon. But what life does it give? The whole point is, as a Christian, we are to give life.
Right.
We are to speak life.
Yes.
We are to model life. And we're to give that life out.
Amen.
And if a sermon, if or whatever, I mean, I would rather speak 5 anointed words,
right,
than 10,000 non-anointed.
Oh, I'm absolutely.
Kind of paraphrasing Paul in tongues there, but
right,
it's the same thing. I'd rather give 5 anointed words that are really going to have power and make changes in somebody's life than to blabber on for 10,000 words.
Exactly. And I think that that's really what we see here, that Moses has learned through this whole mess that he could not have done this on his own. He could not have done anything. He would not even be sitting there with the children of right. Israel in the wilderness if God had not been with him through it all. And that is the object of our thanksgiving, our praise, is to get to that place where we are worshiping him, where we are in tune with him, we're talking to him, and we're listening to him. Mm-hmm. And when we are in that place with him, then the miracles can happen. Then the sermons that touch lives can happen. Then, because we have to, as leaders, realize our dependence on Almighty God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That right here is born out in the life of Moses right here, where he goes, God, if you're not going with me, I'm not going.
That's
We're
right.
not going
That's
anywhere. Right. I've said that different times in my life. God, if you don't have an answer here, I certainly am not going anywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is going on in this situation right here. God, if you're not going to be with me, if you're not going there, Moses is saying, forget it. I'm not moving from this place.
Right.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. And then, you know, he goes on in verse 16, for how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight?
Right.
Is it not by your going up with us? Again, he just wants to make sure. This is how everybody else is going to know that we've found favor in
right.
your sight, that you're going to go up with us.
Right.
You know, and then the Lord said to Moses in verse 17, I will also do this thing that you've asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, and mercy in my sight, and I have known you personally by name.
Praise God.
Now,
I've known you personally.
That's such an intimate relationship. And
doesn't it remind you of Isaiah 43?
Yes.
And I'm going to run over there real quick because I love what God says through Isaiah. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, well, that applies to all of us. This is to the God that made us in the first place, the one who got you started, Israel. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, boy, Moses was kind of in over his head in this mm-hmm. situation. And we are in so many ways in our lives, and dear audience, this probably applies to you in some aspect of your life. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. So don't be afraid, going down to verse 5 of Isaiah 43. So don't be afraid, I'm with you. And then he just goes on and on to continue to reassure us in the book of Isaiah and so many places in the Word that he is with us. He is never going to leave us. And so this was important for Moses to get a handle on and to remind God, yeah, I need your favor, God. I need you to remember that you know me by name, that you talk to me, that we're on a one-on-one basis here. We're on a good friend basis here. You know me by name. You have promised you're with me. You know me. You've given me favor, and I can't go without that favor. I can't go take a step without that. We can't, Pastor Jim, take a step without that favor.
Right, right. I mean, and I don't want to be out of that favor.
Right.
Because we just, as Corrie Ten Boom said, you know, don't let me go mad groping about on my own. And that's what we do.
Yes. That's a good quote.
When we try and do it apart from God's presence, right, apart from his favor, we will go mad.
Exactly.
I mean, because we're groping about it just in the dark. That's all we're doing. And Moses said, don't do that. You know, don't do this. And God says, okay, I know you personally.
Yes.
I'm giving you my word. I know you personally by name.
Amen. And doesn't this give hope to our listeners and to me and to you right here doing the show, that God knows us? He knows our situation. We have not lost favor with God just because we've messed up in areas of our lives. Every day there are things in our lives that we could do better, or there are sin in our lives. I mean, it's part of life. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And we get to walk on. Yeah.
And we walk on.
We walk on. I mean,
he never says, I disown you.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, humanly, we do that with people sometimes, like we were talking. Sometimes we just go, all right, I just don't want you in my life. And we quit calling, we quit responding to them, whatever the case may be. God does not do that with us.
Right. Right. As soon as we dial his number, as it were, he picks up the phone.
He sure does.
You know, he doesn't have a voicemail.
No, he doesn't.
Which is good.
Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
And before they call on me, I will answer them.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
It's amazing that I just read this past weekend, God is not a man that he should lie.
Right.
Or the son of man that he should repent. What a wonderful thing. Thank the Lord he's not, you know, like us.
Because we there's people, you know, you've heard it said for years, there's people in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And we all have people in our lives that we don't talk to anymore, even with the great Facebook connections. There mm-hmm. are times that there's people that are no more longer part of our lives for one reason or another. But with God, we are always with them.
Right. That never happens.
It never happens. It never happens. So I find it very interesting that Moses makes a big deal about this. And God responds to him, like you said, in verse 17 of Exodus 33, God said to Moses, all right, but as you say this, also I will do. For I know you well, and you are special to me. I know you by name. Whoa.
Yeah.
And then Moses wants to see his glory.
Yeah. That shows Moses' boldness.
He wants to see his glory.
Okay, I got my answer, Lord. Now, can I ask you something?
You know, I was reading and studying this in the Dakes Bible this weekend, and there's so many times that God has appeared to people. In fact, the Dakes Bible says 44 appearances, okay? And, you know, to all kinds of different situations, to Moses and to Abraham and Jacob when he was wrestling with him, etc. But what God is talking about, what Moses is wanting here, is not that that connection. He wants something better than that. He wants to see God in all his glory. Not just see like Jesus when he walked this earth. He wants to see God in that majestic glory that we will see someday when we are going to see him be caught up together in the clouds. Moses is asking for something very different here.
Well, yeah, and I think the underlying thing is he wanted to see God face to face.
Face to face.
And whenever God appeared, usually as the angel of the Lord, all of his glory was kind of shrouded.
It was shrouded. Yeah.
And here Moses says, I want to see you.
I think he wore a hoodie.
Yeah. I want to see you on that big curved screen TV set.
Right. I want to see all
all your glory. And God said, you can't. I can't let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it was to preserve Moses.
Right.
You know, God says, you can't see my face and live.
Right.
You can't. Because under that covenant,
right,
their sins were not taken away. They were pushed back.
Right.
There was an incomplete, that's maybe not the right word, but an incomplete forgiveness.
Right.
And you know, God's, to see God's face is to see the fullness of his nature.
Right. Would make our sinfulness.
We'd burn up. We would
because
simply be
couldn't,
incinerated.
Couldn't be in the same place at the same time.
Right. And God, but I love what God says. I'll make my goodness. I'll make my glory. I'll make this pass before you. I'll proclaim my name.
Right.
That I am, you know, gracious and compassionate, full of unfailing love and truth.
Right.
And then I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock.
I'm going to hide you a little bit.
And I'm going to put my hand over it when I walk by.
Right. So you can't see my face.
I'm going to preserve you. And, you know, as I read this again, I was thinking, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.
Right.
And, you know, I think, and I never understood that until I got a handle on this. And
right.
I thought, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Which brings me to this song. And I bet you're wondering, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
Majesty.
Oh, yes.
I don't know who the artist is on this one.
Guideman's Call.
Worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority, flow from his throne. His anthem rings. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem rings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. And Jesus who died and now glorified, King of all kings. Worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Oh,
worship you, mighty God. We praise you, mighty God, with majesty. Worship his majesty. Woo! So Moses did not see everything he wanted to see of God, did he? Could not see his glory. God said no.
He couldn't see the fullness of it. I mean, right. I'm sure he could, like, because he saw, all of them got to see part of it in the cloud, in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. And, but they could, Moses was saying, I want to see all of it. I want to see the fullness of it. And God said, you can't. It will destroy you. And yet he still gave Moses a glimpse, a taste of it, as you know.
Right.
He let Moses see as much as he could.
Right.
Because, you know, in chapter 34, he actually does. We find out he does walk in front of Moses, you know, walk past Moses. He proclaims his name. And, you know, that's the amazing thing. And Moses survived. You know, because all that glory passed in front of him.
Exactly.
And
yes.
God put his hand over the cleft in the rock and walked by. He proclaimed his name, the Lord, gracious and compassionate, full of loving kindness and faithfulness.
Woo, praise God. It's just so amazing to me, these couple chapters of, to me, it just shows the humanity. It shows how we all can get so caught up in wanting things to be the way we want them to be. You know, Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that a minute? Because that's what happened with these children of Israel. They weren't praising God and worshiping like they should have been, obviously. They were wanting an easy way out. They just wanted to party. They just wanted to,
And I was thinking about, you know, so many times we get impatient, and I bring that point back up again because that's kind of the root of this, impatience coupled with their own rebellious nature, and they did not want to wait on God, and,
right.
You know, they got impatient, and they stepped out ahead of God, and that's always a disaster. When you try and get ahead of God, because you're out there on your own, and
which is so what Moses didn't want to do. By the end of chapter 34, he wasn't about to go out there on his own.
He said, "Look what happened. You know, they thought you'd left them, and you know this is what happened." And of course, it, you know, when left to ourselves, we just tend to go wild. I mean,
oh, we do.
That's what happened here. And the sad thing is we make up these bizarre little stories like Aaron and the calf, you know,
exactly.
Ooh, they just popped out.
The calf
don't
just
know
sprouted
how that
out
happened.
Right.
Or we, you know, I think worse yet, we sometimes blame God.
Oh, we,
for
you know,
our
we do.
For our,
yes,
misfortunes or things going on,
yes,
in the world. Why does God let this happen? The so-called philosophical argument of the problem of evil.
Right.
And I was thinking about today, it's not a problem for me. It exists because we are fallen.
Right.
And there is going to come a day, you know, that first song, when I hear the praises start, my bride,
yes,
you know, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And
amen.
What we see around us now is not going to be forever.
Right.
The fear, the lack, the sickness, the hatred, the racism, all of that's not going to last.
No.
You know,
it's for a season.
It's for a season. It, when Jesus comes back, it's all going to pass. It's
right.
Going to pass away. But we have to be patient.
Right.
And because I think sometimes, even now, we want to run ahead of God.
Right.
And try and fix it ourselves. Try and bring the kingdom down by force, and that's not how it works.
No.
Because we take the kingdom with us wherever we go, wherever we speak light into darkness, health into sickness.
Amen.
Wherever we speak the,
amen,
wholeness into brokenness, we take,
yes,
the kingdom of,
yes,
God,
we
there.
Do.
It's not going to come by any other means but by letting ourselves be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Pursuing his presence like Moses did, and then following then and letting the kingdom of God come forth from us individually and as a body of believers.
Right. Absolutely it is. And I like that point about being impatient, because really that's the root of all this that started the rebellion, the impatience. Where's God anyway? Fear. I think fear was working here too. The children of Israel, what if God's left us? What's going on? What if Moses is dead up on the mountain? And they just let those thoughts just breed and expand and magnify.
And they did that continually. Look, you've brought us out here. Where are we going to get food?
Right. All the time.
Where are we going to get water? I'm sick of this manna. Give me something else.
But, you know, it's such a picture of humanity and how we don't trust God and we aren't faithful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can learn a huge lesson from this whole show today, is that no matter what is going on, God can take us through the situation. And God has a plan. When we feel like he evidently is planless, he really does have a plan in whatever mess we find ourselves.
Right. I like that, planless.
Yes. You know, sometimes don't we feel that way? Well, and it's like the children of Israel felt that way here. Like, right. Where'd he go?
What's he up to? What are we going to do now?
Right.
And instead of waiting,
right,
they gave in to fear. They became impatient, gave in to fear.
Yeah.
Made a mess of things.
They sure did.
Because it was the 3,000. Then God sent another plague right after that and wiped out some more of them.
Right.
It's, we have to avoid that. And I think, you know, we need to be like Moses. Spend time with God. Worship right. God. Praise God. Thank
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Get
that's
into,
it right
Because that's
there.
How we get into his presence.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Praise. Worship. Intimate worship with God. Getting to know him.
Yes.
And don't be impatient.
Right. And I think these are huge lessons from this today. And we see how Moses reacted in this. Yes, he was initially angry. Yes, he was initially upset. But he did still continue to go and meet with God at the tent door and continue to keep his relationship strong with God.
In your anger, do not sin and do not give the devil an opportunity.
That's right.
Because, you know, Moses could have kept his anger and said, you know what, I'm done with him too, God. Just far as I'm concerned, wipe them all out and start over with me.
Exactly.
But he didn't. He had a love for that people,
right.
for the Israelites. He interceded on their behalf repeatedly.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Right.
He interceded strongly.
Yes.
On their behalf.
Yes, he did.
In order, you know, to deflect God's wrath
right.
from going on them.
Moses did the right thing in the midst of this storm.
Right. And if I can jump ahead, when he really lost his anger, it cost him going into Israel.
Yeah.
Going into the land of promise.
Right.
Because God said, speak to the rock. You know, this is in Numbers. He said, speak to that rock and water will come out.
Right.
Well, Moses went back to how he did it before and struck the rock twice.
Right.
And God was so gracious, he still poured out the water for them.
Right.
But God said, you...
The disobedience.
You were disobedient. You did not trust
right.
my holiness.
Exactly.
Therefore, you're not going to live to see the promised land.
Exactly.
You will see it, but you won't enter it.
Right.
And how that must have crushed Moses' heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, again, he grew impatient with the people.
Sure.
And he, as we would say, got into the flesh.
Right.
And he struck the rock again.
Right.
And God said, just speak to it. It's already been struck.
Right.
It's already been struck. And, of course, the rock is a type of Jesus. He's already
right.
been struck.
Right.
All we have to do is speak. He cannot be crucified
again. Amen. Amen.
And that rock was not supposed to be struck again. And yet Moses did, out of disobedience.
Right. So what do we learn from all this? We learn that in our times of feeling like God is not there, he still is there.
Right.
And our times of feeling fearful, scared, you know, like we just want to run and hide and get away from, you know, of God's presence.
Right.
We're afraid of God. Is when we need to run to him, and we run to him through thanksgiving. We run enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with
thanksgiving in his courts with praise.
And as you do that, then that worship, that deciding to be in his presence, it's just overwhelming when we really start praising God. We want to worship Him. There is something innate. You said it earlier. We all have that God-shaped place in our heart,
right?
That we're, needs to be filled by God alone.
We're created to worship.
Yes, and we are.
We will worship something,
right?
You know, if we say we're not worshiping anything, then we're probably worshiping our intellect,
right?
You know, because we're just made to worship, and that
right.
got warped, you know, in the fall, of, you know, when humanity fell. But we're made.
Oh, we are.
We know there's something more out there.
Absolutely. So from this show, dear ones, instead of doing our own thing and actually idolizing people or jobs or money or anything like that, we need to be really taking time in the presence of God. We need to be taking time to give Him thanks before we see the answer. We need to give Him praise, and we need to honor Him. We need to bless His name, and we need to take time to worship God, because that's where we will feel His presence the strongest. That's where we will know He's right there working. Final thought, PJ.
Well, and that worshiping God is where we, you know, where we're intimate with Him.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, we're listening.
You know,
we're talking.
And
yeah.
Obviously, I mean, you know me, I'm huge on the Word, and yet read the Psalms.
Right.
Pray the Psalms.
Pray
and
them.
You will get intimate with God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but intimacy is a conversation.
It
Read
is.
The Word. Talk
yes.
to God. Worship Him. Grab hold of a promise and just praise
Hang
Him for
on
it.
To it.
Yeah,
yes.
praise Him for
amen
it.
And amen. Pastor Jim, it's always a delight to have you on the air here in the studio with me, and I wish Betty could have been with us today, but with technical problems, we could not do that. But anyway, we hope all of you will tune in to the show next Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, right here live in Clearwater. Our shows are played every Saturday and Sunday on Starcom Radio Network beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern, so you can catch the show again, 10 a.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, this coming weekend. So we hope you'll join us then, and also join our Thursday night show, Go Yard, which airs at 6:06 p.m. in Eastern Time and at 12 noon on Saturday and Sunday on Starcom Radio Network. It's Not Far to Jesus, and we've had a wonderful time bringing you a little closer to Him today, and that's what it's all about. God bless you. See you next week.
There is no distance. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far.
It's not far.
It's not far.
It's not far.
It's not far.